want?
Well, when you ask that question of how we should be in 2023, we do need to ask that question, what does God want? And we're going to look at a text of Scripture in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And it's a fairly familiar verse of Scripture. And I would like to just use that verse as kind of a guidepost for the things that God's requiring of us. But before we get into his word, let's ask his blessing on our time there. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity this morning to look into your word, to examine what you want for us in this year and every year. And we know that you have great plans for each and every one of us to do amazing things. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be satisfied with the little changes that we would like to make in our own lives. Help us to look into what you would have for us to do and what you have already worked out ahead of time, that we would walk in the works that you've already completed. Help us to look at the world and life the way you do. Help us to want what you want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, just to give you some background, some context to what this verse is talking about, Micah is kind of a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah and Micah and most of the prophets, they're simply there to talk to Israel, to remind Israel, to warn Israel that they are messing up. They're doing things the wrong way. They've got their priorities backwards. They're following the wrong things. They're letting God down. And this is what Micah is trying to get across to Israel. And he begins telling them that God has a case against you. So he frames this in courtroom type environments to where God has a judgment he's going to make against you. And he lays out the case before Israel as to what they're doing wrong. And then he asks the question, well, what do you think God wants? And the answer is in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Now, it's interesting when you look at that verse, he's reminding Israel that this is stuff they've already known. This is stuff that's already been told to them. In Deuteronomy, Moses told Israel the same thing. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? And that's what God is requiring. Now, this is addressed to Israel. This is not addressed to modern day America. But when we look at this context, God wants the same thing for modern day America as he did for Israel. His character, his requirements have not changed. His definition of right and wrong does not evolve the way ours does. I'm talking just this past week about how dramatically our culture has changed just over the last 10 years. Just over the last 10 years, the things that you used to be able to do and say, you can't do and say anymore without the culture at large losing their mind. This is just a strange day we're living in. Our culture changes. It goes up and down and says, this is right. Oh, no, that's not right anymore. Now this is right. Nope, that's wrong. And they are all over the place. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we don't have to worry about God's moral requirements shifting like sand over time. We can be confident that what God is telling Israel here is his same expectation for you and for me. Now, there were dietary expectations and rituals that were commanded in the Old Testament, and people love to point those out. Well, you're not supposed to eat shellfish. And everybody in Louisiana said, okay, well, I can't be a Christian anymore. Don't worry. Those were dietary laws. Those were ceremonial laws. Those weren't moral laws. So the ceremonial laws, the washing of hands and the all of the rituals that they had to accommodate in the Old Testament do not apply to us today. But God's moral law, aka the Ten Commandments, they still apply today. So God is telling us here, through the prophet Micah, that this is what God requires of us. We have this expectation from God. What does God want? He's told us. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they had this entire scenario of what God wanted. God wants us to tithe down to the little teeniest thing. God wants us to wash our hands here. He wants us to fast here. He wants us to go to that festival. And when we keep all of these rituals and all of these expectations, then God's happy. And guess what? That is not how it works. Our external adherence to rituals and external occasions cannot substitute for an internal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God wants our investment in Him so that He can then work through us. When we take ourselves out from under God's parameters of good, God can't infuse us with the strength to do the things that only He can do. Because we're trying to do our stuff and His stuff in our strength, in our way. And God can't bless that. I think many people think, well, I'm good most of the time. I do pretty good. That's kind of the good old boy mentality. You know, I go to church every once in a while. I put a five in the plate when it goes by, and I'm all right. But God's not asking you to be all right. God's asking you to be all in. God's not asking for your Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. He's asking for your Monday through Monday. Every day. Do you belong to Him? That's what His expectation is. Jesus was talking to those Pharisees. And He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law." Remember, the Pharisees were all into that, all of those little tiny things that they could keep and do and adhere to. And Jesus says, you're missing the big picture. You're missing the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. He's not saying that what they were doing was wrong. He's saying you can't count on your external observances to rituals to make you internally right with God. Justice, mercy, faithfulness, the very same things that Micah tells Israel. So as we look at our text this morning, the first thing that we see that we are to be involved in about doing what God wants is to do justice. And I think that's very interesting that Micah puts an action idea to this idea of justice. It's not just that I think the right things. And I think that's where a lot of Christians kind of fall, is that they judge their goodness or their badness based upon their doctrinal position. Do I doctrinally adhere to this set of parameters? Now, what I do Monday through Friday is not really based upon my doctrine, but I think the right things, and I believe the right way, so I'm okay. No, God wants activity, to do justice, to do the right things. And I don't want us to get confused about the idea of justice, because it's kind of been hijacked by our culture today. You might have heard the term social justice. Well, justice doesn't need a modifier. Justice doesn't need to be explain. Justice is right. And to put social in front of it has been used by both sides of the political aisle. Every denomination and every harebrained idea out there has hijacked this idea of social justice to be whatever they want it to be, in terms of we need to go and do this. We need to make this right for this group of people, and we need to do this for those folks. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do good things for people that need, but I am saying that we can't use Micah 6:8 to say that we need to be involved in social justice, because that's not what Micah 6:8 is talking about. It's talking about doing the right thing. When we look at Micah, just a few verses later, Micah 6:11, God says, "Can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights?" So what he's talking about there is that idea that when you go to the market and you want a pound of flour, well, there was a big weight that they would put on this side of the scale that said 1 pound. And then they'd put the flour on until it balanced out. Then you knew you got a pound of flour, right? No, you didn't. Because he had all kinds of different weights under here that said 1 pound. And based upon what he thought he could get away with, that's what he put up there. So you didn't get 1 pound. You get whatever he said was 1 pound. And God is saying, I can't justify wicked scales. I can't justify you guys cheating each other every single chance you get. Do justice. Do the right thing. So where does that put us today? Does that apply to our taxes? You don't like taxes. But I can guarantee you, Israel didn't like them either. And when asked about taxes, they were trying to trap Jesus and get him in trouble with Rome and get him in trouble with Israel. And they asked Jesus, is it lawful to pay the tax to Rome? And Jesus asked for a coin. And he says, whose picture's on here? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. All that money, possessions, wealth, whatever, give that to Caesar. But what belongs to God, give to God. You know what belongs to God? We do. We belong to God. Give to Caesar what he says, whatever. If God can take a little bit of bread and a fish and feed 5,000 people, do you think your tax burden is going to be too much for him? He's going to be able to take care of what you need. I didn't say what you want. He's going to be able to take care of what you need. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to the Lord what he truly wants, which is you, all of you, not just your leftovers. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. You see, God doesn't care how much time you spend at church. Now, should we go to church? Absolutely. That's a part of the command of the New Testament. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, Hebrews says. But does that make us okay with God? Are we okay with God if we pay our tithe? It doesn't change anything. Because it's that whole idea, do we see ourselves as belonging to God? Do we see our stuff as belonging to God? Or do we see God having this tax that we have to pay to God to keep him off our back? And then once we give him that 10%, the 90% is ours to do with what we want. And if we just spend that hour at church, hey, the rest of the week's mine to do with that what I want. No. Do righteousness and justice. That's more to be desired than all of those external outward things that we can do in life. Deuteronomy 1:17 regarding justice says, "You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's." Are we guilty of treating people differently based on how they can affect us? Based upon they can help us? Or do we treat the person that we know hasn't got a penny to their name the same way as the guy we know could buy everything we own? See, that's justice. That's treating people right. And not just adopting the playbook of the world. Secondly, he tells us to love kindness. The King James says to love mercy. And this idea of kindness is very, very important in Scripture. Over and over again, we're told that we are to show each other kindness. And not only are we to show each other kindness, because we can kind of be double-sided in this thing, and we can show kindness to people. "Hey, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Are you doing okay?" I can't stand that person. No. That's not love of kindness. That's just trying to play the game. Don't play the game of shaking the hand and then spitting on their shadow. Love to be kind to people, regardless of whether they've been kind to you. That's the hard part. Because, man, when they talk about us and they run us down to everybody around us that'll listen, and man, it's hard to be kind to them. Because we want to do the very same thing 10 times worse. But you know what that is? That's the world's playbook. That's what everybody else is doing. You read on social media all the time. Cut those people out of your life that are evil and hateful and mean to you and all that sort of stuff. Where would we be if God did us that way? And are we not supposed to extend to others what God has blessed us with, which is love and kindness? Shouldn't we pass that on? Over and over again, Scripture tells you don't return evil for evil. Don't treat people the way you've been treated. Treat people the way you want to be treated. We call that the golden rule. But if you play by the world's playbook, you simply act like the people that have the gold make the rules. And you try to have more gold than the other guy. That's not what God's calling us to do. In 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, David said, "Is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul?" Now, do you remember Saul and David's relationship? It wasn't real peachy. Saul spent half of his time as king trying to kill David. He was anything he could do to just end that dude's life. And after Saul is dead, David says, "Is there anyone yet living that I can show kindness to of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake?" See, he didn't hold family grudges against the people that were in that family. Because when new kings came on the scene in that day and time, hey, if you had crossed them in the past, you were done. You could just count your life over. And David said, no. Is there anyone left that I can show kindness to from the household of Saul? Finally, walk humbly. And interestingly, this word in the Hebrew, this is the only place it shows up in Scripture, in the noun form as it is here. Walk humbly. Now, it's used in Proverbs 11:2 in an adjective form. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. So it's used in a different form here, but the idea of humility is one of not seeking acclaim. To be humble, not seeking to have your own name advanced, but seeking to have God as the primary recipient of praise. So when we look at this idea of humility, it's hard to live differently than the world around us. And I'll just be very honest with you. I am spoiled because I interact with people a lot of the time who are Christians and who understand that humility is expected of people who are followers of Christ. But some get the privilege of working and being around people that live the exact opposite way, and they are not humble, and they will take every bit of credit that you deserve if you let them. And that's tough. I'll be honest, I'm spoiled. But I call it a privilege. Because how will the world see that there's a different way to live if they don't see somebody living a different way? If they never see somebody who says, I did that, but you can take the credit. It's no big deal. If we don't react differently to the events of life and the world around us, how are they going to know that there's something different about us? How are they going to know that Jesus Christ has purchased us and transformed us from the body of death that we were born into to a new life in Christ that is alive and vibrant in the Spirit? How are they going to be able to see that if we act the same way they act? And wouldn't you agree that it takes supernatural ability to not return evil for evil? To be humble when everybody around you is not? That takes God's power, not our power. You know, I used to think when Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek to him. Let him slap that one too. I thought, nah, he wasn't serious. He was serious. He really was. Why? Because nobody in their right mind can do that unless he has an outside source or reason for doing it. If somebody slaps you in the face, there's one thing on your mind in that moment. It's coming back at you. Get ready. Buckle up, Buttercup. Here it comes. But if we don't, wouldn't that just confuse the fire out of them? Wouldn't that make them ask a question like, what is wrong with you? What is different about you? Is it possible that we, if we do what we're being asked here, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly, that we would have an opportunity to tell people about why we're different? To me, God's requirements are otherworldly. They are not even possible if we're doing it in and of ourselves. These things are only possible if we understand that I can't do these things. I cannot do justice because I want what I can get and a little bit more. That's me, my human side. I cannot love kindness because I want to slap the person that slaps me. I cannot be humble because I'm prideful to my core. It's only in God's strength and His power that we can do these things. And yet, that's God's requirement. That's what God wants. So how are we to be in 2023? We are to understand what God wants. He wants us to do justice. Not just talk about it, not just think the right way. Do justice. He wants us to love kindness, and He wants us to walk humbly with our God. If you would please bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning.